Good morning. Hold on, that was a little low. Good morning. So a good congregation in here. Okay, that's better. A wonderful time to begin worship this morning as we continue to worship in spirit and in truth. The words from Ephesians chapter 5. The first couple verses came to my mind. I would like everyone to listen to at this time. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Let us be mindful this morning of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason we've been brought together this morning, and I'm excited for us to continue in worship as we thank God for his Son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice as we now have a new life because of him. So let's pray now as we continue to worship. God, thank you for this moment and time where you have brought us together as your church. It's invigorating, it's exciting, and it's humbling all at the same time. Many of us have many different things on our hearts and minds right now. We have concerns, we have times of joy, we have stress. Lord, we have a moment here where we need to lay everything before you and be touched by your Spirit, preparing us for the rest of the day and the week that is ahead. Guide us now together as the body of Christ, as your church. And we pray in his name. Amen.
One of the great praise hymns of our faith, hymn number 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.
Pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come here today to hear your word. Father, we do trust in you, and we ask that you might be with us strongly today, and if there's one here who has not accepted your trust, that today might be the day, Father. We ask that you bless those that are sick and those that are hurting, Father. Lay your soothing hand upon them. We ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
To see you sitting here. I want to say thank you for being here for this morning when we come together for worship. I love our time together when you can sit right here and we can share personally a little more close-knit about what God's teaching us as we worship Him in the morning. And before we talk about that a little bit more, I know that a lot of people, a lot of your friends will be at church at 4 o'clock, right, for our WANA registration, back to school. You may not like to hear that word, some of you, but back to school in just a little bit, right? Well, I want to make sure that everybody knows to tell them this time is for them as well, okay? When they can come in the morning for our time together, make sure they know the importance of that so it has the same priority that they should have here as well. And I'm excited about that time, and I wanted to make sure you know how thankful I am that you're here now, because I have a question for you, and it's an easy one. Like I always start off, I don't try and stump you too much. We know what this is, right? You see it in front of you if you're sitting in a pew. You see the hymnal there. And I've seen a lot of you, in fact, all of you, have this open at some point singing a hymn. Even if you don't know the hymn, I'll see you have it open. I'll see you'll sing along with everybody. Because music is a very important part of worship. God has gifted us with an amazing gift of music. And it's just so amazing when we see people who are extra gifted with music, how they can lead us in music. And they can sing songs to us that help us praise God with music. And I wanted to ask you if you've ever heard of someone who composed music by the name of Johann Sebastian Bach. Have you ever heard the composer's name Bach? See a couple, yeah. He lived over 250 years ago, world famous composer. And he actually has some compositions in hymnals still that we sing today. And did you know at the bottom of those, you'll sometimes see the three letters S, D, G. And when translated, it means to God alone be the glory. Because Bach knew that music is a gift from God. And music gives God all the glory when we're singing to Him. And that made me think about another passage in Ephesians this morning. And it starts in verse 18, towards the end of that verse, for a couple verses. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 5. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." How amazing is that, that we've been instructed to sing praises to God. That's why we come in the morning, and a big part of our worship as a church is singing hymns and songs and praises to God. So this week, here's what I would love for you to do. As you pray with your family and talk about what we've learned today with your family, ask if they'll put in the CD player at home or in the car some songs where you can sing together as a family praises to God, just like we do as a church here this morning. Okay? Think you can do that for me? Ask your family about it, and we'll talk about it next week, okay? But for right now, let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for the gift of music, how we have come to sing praises to you, and how joyful it is to hear the whole church in one voice sing and give you all the glory and attention. Show us how to do that this week. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
You know, as a people, we don't do well with silent times. Therefore, while we have passing the offering plates, Gail and Regina play typically. And did you notice the last piece of that medley? Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And that was played so beautifully, both Gail and Regina. I thank you for that offering. Let's stand and sing 417, Trusting Jesus.
Trusting Jesus, God is all. Trusting as all. Let me invite you to open your bulletins to our prayer concerns and welcome you to worship today. I have several names I'd like to add to our prayer list today, and certainly we have a very active time. One that just occurred this morning, Miss Betty Hurley was here with us and began to have some symptoms that were concerning us, and so she, her sister Joanne, and her daughter Mary Lou, and I think a big clan, and we're going to excuse Regina in just a minute, and she's going to head that way to the hospital at Central Carolina, where she is going to be admitted, and they're going to be doing a stroke workup to see what's going on. So we want to keep Betty in our prayers in a very special way. Miss Nettie Keith will be having surgery tomorrow morning. She's got to be there at 7 o'clock at Moore County, and we want to be keeping her in our prayers and then in the recuperation time as well. You'll see names that are listed tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We will have the service for Miss Gail Bridges here at our church, and we certainly want to keep that family lifted up in our prayers in a very special way. Also, another community person, Linda Totten, passed away. We want to remember that family. We have some that are recuperating. One more, Brian Seal, will be having surgery this Tuesday at Rex Hospital. And currently at Rex Hospital is Jake Rigsby. That's Matt's dad, who had bypass surgery this past week. Sandy Tillotson recuperating from surgery at home. It's good to have Anthony here with us, who was hospitalized last week. The needs are great, and they're many. And we put this list down so that we would be mindful and that God would give us opportunity to minister to all these different needs. Pray with me. Lord, for some of us, this is the last weeks before school starts, and we're trying to get in as much as we can. For some of us, this past week has been a week of grieving for a loved one who's gone to be with you. For some of us, this has been dealing with the first bout of chemotherapy. For some of us, this is the week we're anticipating surgery. Lord, this week is a lot of different things to all of us who are here. But one thing we come to do now, as a collection of your people who love you and love each other, is we come to pray. For we believe that when we pray together, we grow stronger with each other and with you. We believe when we pray that you hear our prayer. We believe that when we pray, our spirit touches your spirit, and you change us, and you make us different. You make us stronger. You make us wiser. You give us courage. You give us strength. We believe that when we pray, you bring healing to hearts and lives in many different ways to people. We believe when we pray, you send comfort from heaven to earth that can make the unbearable bearable. We believe that when we pray, we're being obedient. God, hear our prayer. In Christ's name.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Another chance to reach the world with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great song. What a great truth. What a great challenge for us. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter, as we continue our study of life-changing stories that Jesus told, the parables. The parables. We are grateful for those wonderful stories that we know many of them by heart. And this is one that no doubt you have probably heard sermons on and done Bible studies on. It's the parable of the great banquet, the parable of those that made excuses for why they couldn't attend, and how that invitation list got wider and wider and wider till one day you and I were included as part of it. Luke chapter 14. We're going to begin to read in verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 24. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? And he said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your own brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, this is Jesus, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the end of the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house became angry. And he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes in the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you command has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you, even now, speak to us clearly about your invitation to walk with you, to feast at your banquet table, to learn from you, to grow in deep communion and relationship with you, that we might be stronger than we were before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I love the story about a guy that was making a list. He was going around and making on this list. He said he'd come up to somebody and he says, "I believe I can beat you up. And I'm putting your name on the list of men that I can whip." And most folks would say, "Well, whatever, whatever, you know." And so he had a list. Well, one day he came up to this one fella, and he said, "You know, I believe I can whip you. And I'm going to put your name on the list of men that I can whip." The fella looked at him after he had written it down. He said, "I don't believe you can whip me. I don't believe you can at all. What are you going to do about that?" He said, "Well, I'm going to take your name off this list right here." In ancient times, you would give the invitation. You would tell people that you were going to give a banquet in honor of some powerful occasion, a wedding, a birth of a child, a special anniversary in your life, or a religious holiday. And then after you spent the time preparing, it would be customary to send out and tell the folks that it was time to come. They didn't do calendars like we did. They didn't Google and certainly couldn't text. So the way to get the word out was literally to go and say, okay, we know you're coming to the gathering. It's going to be this afternoon at such and such a time. And that's what happened. All the food's been prepared in this parable. It is a big event. It would be on the front page of the society news. And then we got the word one by one that those honored guests were not going to be there. An invitation. It wasn't going to be honored. A pastor in Houston tells a story of when he was coming to the church that he was going to pastor. They were interviewing him for the position of pastor, and he said that when he went there, he entered and the auditorium was dimly lit and there was paint that needed to be tended to pretty badly, and the people were all kind of downcast and sad looking, and their singing didn't have much energy in it. And he said, all in all, it was kind of depressing. He said later that day, he had a little bit of time, and he was walking down the streets of Houston, and he came upon a jewelry store. It was kind of the grand opening of this jewelry store. It was a big deal. It said there were bright lights all around. The store was immaculate. There were people greeting you at the door, glad to see you, inviting you in. They had cake and punch for the grand opening, and people were just happy to be there. And this pastor said, you know, I got to thinking about it. If that jewelry store had offered an invitation, I would have joined. But when the church offers an invitation, how are we? One more chance to win the world. One more chance to live out the opportunity to be all that God created us to be. A unique invitation list. A unique invitation by God today for us. Our text is often used for excuses, and I'll get to just a little bit of that, but I don't want us to focus on that. We all know that giving an excuse is for doing the right thing when it's a self-centered reason is not good. But then we also all know that when you don't come to something I want, that's an excuse. But when I don't come to something you want, that's a reason, right? We understand the difference. Well, I want us to think for a moment, what is God inviting us to? Let me say it more personally. Today, could each of us say, God, what are you inviting me to? What do I need to do as a person, as a believer, as a mom or a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a member of this community? We were talking in the Baptist Men about how community has changed. Wonder if we could change it back. Where it needs to be changed back. The first group I want us to look at is that first group. That group that became disengaged from the invitation. Those that were expected to come. Those that should have been there. Those that should have cleared their calendar and made sure that this was top priority. They began to give excuses. There's a list in Deuteronomy that includes these kind of reasons that they give that were chronicled that Jesus was connecting to say, don't let those things come before you and your God. It represents the children of Israel in their day. That's who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to Israel. He was saying, You know, God has sent you to the, He sent me to you to invite you to the personal walk that He chose you back with Abraham. And He wants to walk with you in intimacy. And you're invited, and here I am in your midst. And I can provide intimacy with you and God like you've never seen before. What Abraham did, what Isaac did, what Jacob did, what Moses did, what David did, it will pale in comparison to what I can do if you'll come to the banquet. And Israel said, no, thank you. I'm busy. So for us today, the disengage might be to make sure we as church don't become disengaged with God, that we don't become so busy with life that we put God in some place that God will not stay. We're on the first list, you and I. If you're here today, you're invited now to walk with God closely and completely. You're invited to be with God in a way that will transform how you do everything else in your life. That's really true. But sometimes we want something less. I heard the story of a teacher that was teaching, and she was asking the children, they were working on manners, something we might need to do again, I think, sometimes. But she started asking the children about what would happen when they went to a nice restaurant, not the fast food, but a nice restaurant. And one second grader quickly said, I was always told don't play with your food. Another little girl raised her hand and said, don't be loud. And child after child gave reasons what they were told and what the expectations when they were at this high-dollar restaurant. And one little fellow just kind of kept quiet, didn't say anything. And the teacher, wanting to include him, finally called him by name and said, what kind of rule do you have when you go to such a restaurant? And he said, I was always told to order something cheap. That was what his rule was. I wonder if I think there might be a list of cheap membership of Christ. And I want to be on the cheap list. I don't want it to cost me an awful lot. I don't want it to get in the way. I just want it to kind of hang behind me. When I need it, know it's there. The disengaged. I wonder if God's Spirit might be saying to us today that our walk with God must never be cheap. In a study that the Barna Institute did, George Barna is one of the great Christian sociologist that kind of keeps his eye, kind of the Gallup poll guy of Christianity. And in 2006, he discovered that 61% of young adults who as teenagers were churched and very involved are now spiritually disengaged. 61%. 61%. By spiritual disengagement, he identified that as being inactive in their church attendance or sporadic at best, sporadic or non-existing in Bible reading and prayer only in times of crisis and at their meals. Disengaged. Only 20% of the 20-somethings maintained spiritual activity consistent with that of what they were doing when they were in high school in the youth group. It's easy to become disengaged. I almost believe probably there's someone here today who would say, I've become disengaged with my faith. I've become disengaged in my walk, in my passion for my walk. Today, you're going to be invited to re-engage. You're going to be invited by the Holy Spirit of God to make today that pivotal point in your life that you begin to move forward in new and stronger ways. That's the gift of God. That's the gift of worship. That's one more chance to win the world. That's one more chance to make a difference. That's one more chance to walk closely with our God. The second group in this parable that Jesus shared with us are those that were disabled. The listing of that group of four, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, they represent that part of Israel that was on the outside looking in. That part of Israel that was regulated outside the worship. They weren't allowed in worship because they had in their mind connected disability with evil. And if you were sick, it must be because of something you did or someone in your family. And if you had one of these debilitating disorders like being poor, being crippled, being lame, being blind, then it was seen as God's judgment. Church, who do we judge? Who do we judge? Who do we say you need to stand on the outside and only look in? Oh, in our society, we're aware that you can become disabled because of bad choices, because of misfortune, because of neglect. You can become disabled because of bad decisions other people make and inflict that upon you. But when the disengaged didn't come, the master of the house invited those that were disabled. And Jesus is sort of telling us that he's trying to open the door and he's trying to make sure everyone's included. Today, who do we know? Who do we know? Who would the Holy Spirit put on our heart and mind today that we may need to share a word with? Oh, excuses. Sometimes the worst problem the disabled have are the excuses of the disengaged. Let me say that again. Sometimes the worst problem the disabled have, those that are on the outside of the church, are the excuses of the disengaged, those inside the church, who don't have the passion, who don't have the clear understanding that we've been saved to share the gospel and to reach others with that good news. Oh, you can come up with all kinds of excuses, can't you? I heard an example that might kind of share with you what I mean. Did you know that it's dangerous to eat carrots? That carrots, they're deadly. Listen to this. Nearly all sick people have eaten carrots at one time or another in their life. Every one of them. It's estimated that 99.9% of all Americans who die of cancer or heart disease have eaten carrots at least once in their lives. See, carrots are bad. Don't you understand that? 95% of all people who've been involved in car crashes within the last 10 years have eaten carrots at one time or another. It's got to be carrots. 90% of juvenile delinquents come from homes where carrots are served regularly. And it has been statistically proven that every person born in 1839 who ate carrots, the mortality rate is 100% there. Everyone dead. Every one of them are dead. Don't eat carrots. They'll kill you. Oh, that's a silly jump, and it's a silly story, but it kind of shows you what we can do. Because maybe we're hitting here today, and the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to walk closer, but some silly carrot-like excuse will come to our mind of why we can't do it. Why we'll do it later. We'll do it another time. And all the time, those who are spiritually crippled and poor and lame and blind need the gospel. Need us to share God's love. Need us to do what only we can do. The story goes that Jesus tells that once they'd gone out and gotten the first group was Israel, the church, we'd say. The second group was that group of folks that were still in Israel's camp, but they weren't allowed into worship. Folks you and I know. But then there's that last group. I call those the disconnected. Go out in the highways and in the byways. That represented the Gentiles. That represented you and me in Jewish world. That was open the door to foreign missions, if you will. That was opening the door to whoever will, to make sure that we're reaching everyone, not only the ones we know who've made bad choices, but those we don't know, to share the gospel. Those that society may reject, the church should reach out and share the love of Christ. That's why we have chaplains in prisons. That's why we go to every place in this world and try to share the love of Christ. You know, the chances of one of those persons being here today is pretty slim. There's probably a whole lot more of us that are disengaged or maybe disabled, but very few disconnected. But if by chance there's one here today, and I want you to know God would invite you to become connected. There's a great story about the old Methodist missionary John Wesley. He would ride on his horse from church to church to preach the gospel in the 18th century. And on one such journey, he was stopped by a highwayman, a robber, who shouted, "Halt, it's your money or your life." Wesley got down off his horse and he gave him the few coins that he had in his pocket. "What have you got in the saddlebag?" He said, "You're welcome to them." They were Bibles in his saddlebag and books he used to study. Finally, the robber, convinced he was not going to get much from this old country preacher, started to leave. And John Wesley stopped and he said, "Wait just a moment. I have something else I'd like to give you." Puzzled, the robber turned back. And Wesley leaned in and he said, "My friend," listen to these words he said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life in which you're now engaged. If you ever do, I beseech you to remember this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." The robber hurried away in silence. All he needed was a sermon on that day. Now we fast forward some 10 years later. And it was the close of an evening service where Wesley had been preaching. The evangelist had been bringing the message. And a man showed up asking for an audience with Wesley. And when he walked forward, as you might anticipate by now, it was that robber. He asked for that audience, and when Wesley stood before him, he reached down and he took Wesley's hand and he kissed his hand. And he said, "To you, dear sir, I owe it all." And Wesley softly replied, "Nay, nay, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ, which cleanseth us from all our sins." The disconnected need to hear their sin can be forgiven. The disabled need to hear their sins can be forgiven. We who are in the kingdom need to engage. We need to engage. There's a great movie that probably most of you have seen, from Top Gun, Tom Cruise. Remember that movie? After the terrible accident happens and his plane crashes and his mate is killed, he can't engage. He begins to fly that plane that he was one of the best, maybe the best, that ever flew. But now in the drills, when it came time and they tried to make it so it'd be so easy for him, if flying jets can ever be easy, they gave him what we might say were easy targets. But because of that mistake he made, because of that past he had, he couldn't engage. He just couldn't do it. He almost missed his graduation, but it seemed right at the end maybe he was better. But now he had the reputation of being one who couldn't engage. And the movie ends with the story that there's a confrontation between, you guessed it, Russia and America. And the Russian MiGs have crossed over and they're about to attack. And the second best flyer is already up and things are going badly. And they were hesitant to deploy Tom Cruise because they didn't know if he'd engage. Maybe he wouldn't do it. And there were only seconds because this was all going to be over in seconds. It was his time. He gets there. And at first, as only a movie plot can do, it looked as though the fear of the past was going to stop him. It's no good, he'd said. It's no good. It's no good. They kept calling, please, you've got to engage. You've got to engage. You've got to engage now. And at the last moment, he makes the choice. He makes the choice. He engages. And he does what needs to be done. Today the Holy Spirit says, are you engaged? There's a war outside these walls. And what's at stake is the lives of men and women, boys and girls. Not playing. It's not training. It's the real deal. Next Sunday, there'll be somebody on our prayer list that's left this world. And the Sunday after that. And the Sunday after that. And the Sunday after that. Some are disabled. Some are disconnected. They need the church. They need you and me. They need us. The Lord wants His house to be filled. Why? He's not on the ego trip. He doesn't feel like you have absolutely blessed Him when you come to church on Sunday mornings. But here's what He does know. That when we gather together, as He's told us, as He created us to do, He created us. He put it in our DNA that we need to be here. And someone will say something to you. It may be the usher. It may be your Sunday school teacher. It may be the person sitting beside you. It may be the song the choir sings. It may be the message. It may be the scripture. It may be a prayer that's prayed. But He knows there'll be something to help us get engaged and stay engaged. That when we leave this place, we'll be strong in our faith. And we'll be able to say to someone like John Wesley said to that robber, wasn't me. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sins. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to engage. It's so easy in this old world to disengage. Help us to give our calendar to You, O God. Help us to give our bank account to You, O God. Help us to give our hobbies to You, O God. Help us to give our leisure to You, O God. Help us to give ourselves to You, O God. Because there are disabled and disconnected people who need the Lord. And Lord, our prayer today is give us one more chance to win the world. Give us one more chance to make a difference. Put us on the invitation list, oh God, and let us sup with You every Sunday. Let us sup with You every day in the morning and at noontime and in the evening and right before bedtime. Speak to our hearts clearly that we might be the salt and light that our community, that our world needs. Help us Lord, now as we offer an invitation, it's your invitation to the banquet. Lord, I don't know what decisions need to be made, whether they all need to be made private or public. But, oh, Lord, I know decisions need to be made right now. In this moment, when your Holy Spirit is bathing this congregation with your love, and you are calling to our heart and mind things we need to be doing. Oh God, speak to us. And listen, oh God, as we speak to you, as we confess to you, as we admit to you, as we commit to you to make those changes, to allow you to be stronger in our life and to do more, that we might be able to share with the robbers of this world, with those that are disabled in their spirit and need your love. Help us to be strong. Lord, if there's one who needs to know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sin and accept you as Lord and Savior, then this invitation is for them. And Lord, may each of us, as we share in this time, listen to your Spirit and speak to you, O God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 317. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Page 317. This morning, if God is impressing upon your heart some choice, some decision you need to make about engaging, maybe we need to disengage from something else to be able to engage in what God would have us to do. Whatever His Spirit might be saying, would we who have spiritual ears hear and follow what the Spirit says as we stand together? It's good to see Audrey Ash with us here today, who had carpal tunnel surgery. We want to keep her in our prayers as she recuperates from that. And I'm not sure I mentioned the name of Sue Dowdy, who passed away. That's Brenda Cotton's aunt. We want to be remembering that family in a very special way. A couple of announcements that were shared with us that I want to remind you of. First, the new hospitality committee is going to meet at 6:15 in the fellowship hall today. For a short meeting to kind of get some organization. And to each of our new committees, let me remind you that whoever's name is first on that list is given the opportunity to call the first meeting. And every committee needs to meet, go over the policy manual so we're all on the same page of what our expectations are, and elect a chairperson. So I ask that each would do that. I also was told that the WMU needs drinks and desserts by 10:30 this Wednesday. here at the church for the Deep River Teachers. We carry a meal over there, and we need desserts. I think they've got everything else, drinks and desserts, if you could help with that. Also, a lot going on. I hope you'll read the bulletin. The rest of these are there. The special call business meeting. Sunday school teachers will be ringing the bell a little early. We'll come in here at 10:45 next Sunday for the purpose of nominating the members to serve on the diaconate for the next 4 years. So that will be at 10:45. Please note that. And then also remember that the diaconate has suggested that we take the last Sunday in this month as our catch-up Sunday for our church budget offering. So if you could prayerfully allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in that decision, we would appreciate any help that you might give us. Awana sign-ups are at 4 o'clock today. I think it's in the bulletin at 4:30, but that's 4 to 6 in the fellowship hall today. Are all hearts content? Now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's power, in His presence, and in His beautiful, beautiful peace to engage with all His people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for offering the banquet, for preparing the table through your Son, our Savior, and providing a way to cleanse us from all our sins. And grant us eternity with you, where there'll be no more pain or heartache or sorrow or disappointment or frustration or busy schedules, but there will be peace forevermore. And give us a taste of that peace as we immerse ourselves in your grace and in your love. Go with us from this place. Be with all the needs that are before us as a community and as family, that we might give ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, God, I trust Him.
Jesus Christ.